India is booming. This sounds like good news for a nation that still has hundreds of millions of people living in abject poverty. But fast economic growth can bring complications, as China's peasant uprisings proved. In India, it's pitted the giants of big industry against some of the country's most marginalized people. NPR's Philip Reeves reports.
Standing by a thorn tree beneath a warm afternoon sun, Chandrika Hybru flips open a notebook and reads out a list of names.
Landu Jarika, a cultivator. Junga Jarika, a cultivator.
There are 12 in all.
Ramchandra Jamuda, a cultivator.
These are 12 people who stood in the way of India's steel rush and lost. A few feet away, a collection of charred logs and withered yellow marigolds marks the spot where they were cremated. They were killed by the police here in the eastern state of Orissa. They were trying to stop bulldozers from clearing their paddy fields to build a steel plant for the Indian industrial giant Tata. The work's been stopped before by protests. This time, the authorities were determined it should go ahead. They sent 300 policemen. Teluchan Tiu says he saw the shootings.
The police were lined up here, and you can see that tower there, that's where they were. So they fired from there. And when they fired, the bullet went as far as the village over there, on the other side.
Tiu walks across to a pond and points out some patches of discoloured earth.
See, can you see this blood here? This is tribal blood.
Exactly what happened is in dispute. The people in the crowd were what's known in India as Adivasis, tribal people who live off the land in much the same way as they have for centuries. Police say the mob was armed with bows and arrows and scythes. They say their officers opened fire only after the mob grabbed a policeman and hacked him to death, and after they'd fired rubber bullets and tear gas. Tiu and others say the police opened up without warning and shot people who were running away. The killings sent a shockwave across India, where millions have been displaced by development over the years. They also reignited a fierce debate between two old adversaries, those who say some people must inevitably lose their lands to allow for economic expansion, growth that'll ultimately benefit more people than those who suffer, and those like Sudhir Patnaik, an activist for tribal rights, who say the only ones who really gain from growth are the well-off.
The kind of growth that people are talking about in this state, if that growth doesn't have any meaning for 95% of our population, then how do you call that a growth?
In Orissa's capital, Bhubaneswar, an elderly woman seeks alms outside a Hindu temple. About a quarter of Orissa's 37 million population are tribals, but the state also has the highest proportion of poor in India. Almost half its people are below the poverty line. Pyarimohan Mohapatra, a close advisor to the state's chief minister, says that's one reason why Orissa must seize the chance to develop.
We do desperately need not only these industries, because these industries are not going to create a lot of employment, but the downstream ancillaries out of these industries will. This will also give a fillip to all-round development agriculture because of the demand creation.
Over the last decade and a half, Orissa's inked memoranda of understanding with more than 40 companies to set up processing plants. Many of them are at Kalinga Nagar, where the shootings happened. It's a 13,000-acre sweep of farms, hills and woodlands. The state's planning to turn it into one of the world's steel-making hubs. There are already two steel plants, four more plants are under construction, and seven others are in the planning stages. If all Orissa's planned factories are eventually built, 1 million people will be displaced. Mohapatra says the tribal people have been through this kind of thing before.
Tribals have been pushed around for centuries, taking advantage of their simplicity, their ignorance, their lack of education. In a way, this sad incident has also focused on the urgency of finding solutions. Orissa has been trying, everyone has been trying to give them a much better deal.
Some efforts have been made over the years to compensate people for being thrown off their land. In the 1990s, the state purchased tribal land for modest one-off sums, some $800 an acre in the case of the land needed for the Tata plant in Kalinga Nagar. The tribal people were furious when they found out the same lands were eventually sold to steel companies for 10 times the price. Now some of them are pressing for more compensation. They were also promised jobs. But many tribal people say that often these never materialized. And anyway, they add, they aren't qualified to work in factories. They're farmers who want to continue working the land. In this village, men still thresh piles of rice, cleaning it by fanning it with palm fronds in the traditional manner. Yet this is a new community that can't survive off the land alone. It's a colony established in Kalinganagar by the state authorities just under a decade ago for tribal people displaced by a steel plant. 120 families live here, including Mansingh Purti. Purti says leaving his 6-acre farm to make way for the steelmakers was a big mistake.
We got a little greedy because the government had promised us that they would build us a model colony with running water for bathing and for drinking, with electricity, with a dispensary, with all the facilities. But obviously, we were fooled.
He says there are just 2 water pumps and no clinic, and villagers only have tiny pockets of land.
They've made total fools of us. The 12 people who died over there, they died because they saw the way that we were living. They said that people in our colony have been reduced to beggars and they didn't want that to happen to them.
Government policy for rehabilitating displaced people is now being reviewed. There's talk of providing housing and alternative employment. Much is at stake. A giant South Korean steel plant's plan for Orissa, the largest in India. Krishnaswamy Ravi of India's Statesman newspaper says the next 6 months could decide whether the steel makers continue to move in.
Kind of a do or die situation. If the government handles it properly henceforth in the next 2-3 months, then we're going to have a real good industrialization that is going to take place and the economic development of the area or the state. But if they're unable to do that, some of them may even back out and go away.
Handling it properly won't be easy. Teria's 32-year-old sister was among the 12 killed by the police. Standing next to her sister's freshly painted white tomb, not far from the scene of the killings, she says after what happened, villagers will hardly be in a cooperative mood.
We've already paid with our lives, and at no cost whatsoever are we going to leave this land.
For us, she adds, our life is the earth. Philip Reeves, NPR News, New Delhi.